online or by phone. WPR.org online, 888-202-2552. And once again, when you contribute to WPR, you're contributing to us here at WGTD, and we thank you. Now, the forecast from the National Weather Service, sunny, breezy, and seasonal. High today, 55. Right now, wind from the north at 14. The sun is shining, 43 degrees in Racine, 44 in Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. Just about 8:11. The morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg.
Once upon a time, in a far-off kingdom,
I wish
lived a fair maiden.
More than anything, more than life,
a sad young lad,
more than Jew,
I wish
a childless baker.
More than life,
I wish,
and his
more
wife.
Than anything, more than the moon,
I wish. The king is giving a festival.
More than life, I wish
to go to the festival.
More than riches,
and
I wish my cow would give some milk.
More than anything,
I wish we had a child.
I want a child. I wish to go to the
festival.
I wish
we could have a child. I wish.
You wish to go to the festival?
The poor girl's mother had died.
You Cinderella, the festival.
Wow. It is so delicious to be hearing that music, that marvelous complexity of Stephen Sondheim, responsible for both the score and lyrics and book of Into the Woods, one of the great towering masterworks of musical theater in recent years. And this formidable challenge is being undertaken by Carthage College in a production that opens this weekend. Into the Woods will open at Carthage in the Wartburg Auditorium. And we're going to be talking about it today in this portion of WGTD's morning show with two people very busy with this production. Neil Sharnick, who is its stage director, and Cassidy Skorija, who is the baker's wife. And we're really happy that both of them have made time in a very busy week to join us for the morning show to talk about the terrors and travails and delights that are part of putting on a show as challenging as Into the Woods. We welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be here.
I happen to know this show pretty well because several years ago, the Lakeside Players in Kenosha undertook it. And the primary rehearsal season was January. I happened to be off that January, and I was asked if I would be willing to be the pianist. And really, just in order for me to get to know this show inside out, I agreed, and I'm really glad I did. It was a marvelous experience, and I came away in just awe and wonder at this amazing show, which I'd seen on Broadway, but never really, in a sense, experienced firsthand, other than being in the audience. Neil, I'm just curious what your experience with Into the Woods was ahead of undertaking it as director of this production.
Sure. Well, it is one of certainly among Sondheim's musicals. He's celebrated by fans and critics of musical theater, but a lot of his shows, because of their complexity, because of how innovative and strange he can choose to be, they don't all have the wide following that Into the Woods has because of the fairy tale themes, because of how you know, just how lovely and catchy the music is. He isn't always catchy, but this show certainly is. It's among the most produced at every level. It is among the most produced musicals in community theater, in high school and even middle school. There's an Into the Woods Junior that gets produced. and professional theaters as well. Just a few years ago, the Skylight in Milwaukee did a production of it, and so everyone has had a chance to see it. And now with the movie recently produced, there's a it's a show that almost everyone in the country knows or at least has some familiarity with. I first encountered it. I had seen a community theater production of it in its early days up in Milwaukee, and had the VHS of the Broadway production with Joanna Gleason and Chip Zine and Bernadette Peters. It's the only musical I owned a VHS of as a young man. I've always loved it. I remember as a Carthage student years back, it getting talked about as, you know, is this something we could do? And it didn't happen in my 4 years. And actually this past year, for the first time ever, we, the Carthage Theater faculty, opened up an avenue for taking suggestions from students for our season. And there were a couple of musicals included in the suggestions that came, this being one of them. And I knew pretty quickly that not only did I want to do this musical, but that we definitely had the horses for this show.
Was it a foregone conclusion that you would be its director? I mean, is that responsibility sort of rotated through the faculty?
Yeah, it is. And I had it had been, I think, 5 years since I did the musical Dirty Rotten Scoundrels some years back, and about 5 years before that, it was The Early Modern Millie. So this is only the third musical I've directed at Carthage, though I'll be doing it again next year. I was on for the musical. So while it's always a discussion among the theater faculty and including the music theater faculty, trying to find the right show for our students and one that makes sense in our season, I pretty quickly landed on this as the right choice.
Cassidy Scorger, who is with us, is the baker's wife, and we're going to find out more about you and your role in a little bit. But ahead of becoming part of this cast, what was your acquaintance with this show? I mean, anybody who's your age and a music theater person obviously knows Into the Woods on some level. Had you had any really sort of first-person encounter with it before this?
Yes, actually. I did it my sophomore year of high school. At that time, I played Cinderella, which was a great experience, but I really love being able to come back to it now, having a little bit more training under my belt, actually kind of knowing what I was doing, and also having a little bit more life experience. I think this is definitely one of those shows where you have a different experience with it every time you encounter it. So it was really exciting to be able to revisit it, and it's a show that I've loved since I discovered it my sophomore year of high school. It's been a really great experience to be able to come back to it and see it in a different perspective.
Sure. Was that Into the Woods Junior that your high school did?
We actually did the full thing.
Wow.
So that was, yeah, it was an incredible experience. We were, we definitely didn't shy away from a challenge at my high school, which was really pivotal in getting to me to where I am today as well.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, I think that actually the majority of the cast, or at least close to half, have done this show before in some capacity or other, whether the junior version or the full version. And in fact, one actor, Zach Prewish, is playing the mysterious man who he played previously. He's the one who got cast in the same role that he'd played before.
Right. We should say that's the narrator who we just heard say on this recording, "Once upon a time."
Yeah, typically, though, we have not double casted the mysterious man and narrator as the same person. We've done something a little bit different with our narrator.
I see. Very good. So, Neil, we should probably sort out for people listening who actually do not know very much about Into the Woods, the genius of kind of the central concept that Stephen Sondheim created here.
Yeah, and he did the music and lyrics, but actually James Lapine collaborated with him on the book, as he did also with Sunday in the Park with George. Mm. And they were, I don't know all the background of where exactly the germ of the idea came from, but I know that at the heart of the experiment was a book by Bruno Bettelheim called The Uses of Enchantment. That Bruno Bettelheim was a child psychologist who was advocating for fairy tales and their cultural importance and significance and the role that they play in child development. And what the musical Into the Woods does is it offers us an act one that feels like a very complete story that gets us through from Once Upon a Time to Happy Ever After. And in this story, we encounter several of our familiar fairy tale figures, from Jack the Giant Killer to Little Red Riding Hood to Cinderella and Rapunzel. Those would be the principal ones, plus a couple characters connected to that world of fairy tales, but more or less an invention of Lapine and Sondheim. A baker and his wife, who are childless and are need to lift a spell in order to have a child, and it's their story that ends up connecting us to all these other characters, and we get to the happy ever after at the end of Act One. But what we discover is that there is something naive, something incomplete, something inconsistent with our lived experience that. In the happy ever after, right? There is always the next day, and the next day may still be happy, but new troubles arise. Every day brings new problems, and often those steps we took to get where we wanted to be have consequences. You know that Jack slaying the giant, stealing from and killing the giant, that has consequences. And the prince who will stop at nothing in pursuit of the woman he loves maybe is more interested in the chase than the woman, right? And that's, we start to realize that there's more to the story that that doesn't detract from the joy of life, but it does it asks us to look through more adult eyes at these fairy tales, at the stories we tell to shape meaning in our lives, and understand the complexity that is hidden underneath the simplicity of a fairy tale.
Hmm. Nicely put. And I think just the central genius of just mashing together all these different fairy tales that we think of as distinctive from one another, seeing kind of the common elements that tie a lot of them together, but having these characters actually occupy the stage together, in a sense, occupying the same mysterious woods, is just such a wonderful idea, fertile with possibilities that Sondheim explores so richly.
Right. And, you know, in theater, what makes drama, what makes theater work is people pursuing their objectives and coming into conflict. And what these fairy tales are, they're all wish fulfillment stories, right? Mm. They're people trying to pursue an objective, you know, to get their wish, to achieve their wish. And when those characters collide, it can make great theater, right? Because they all have a deep-seated wish that they're trying to fulfill. And when the baker and his wife are trying to have a child, so they must lift a spell, and to do it, they need certain items, including the slipper as pure as gold, which when the baker's wife encounters Cinderella, she had, you know, the cape as red as blood. So when the baker encounters Little Red Riding Hood, see, each of these characters become a necessary component to the baker's and baker's wife's story, but they have their own objectives that they're trying to pursue that put them at odds.
Mm. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about Stephen Sondheim's musical Into the Woods that opens this coming weekend and runs another weekend.
So yes, it does.
Two weekends altogether at Carthage College in the Wartburg Auditorium. Neil Charnick is the stage director. Cassidy Scarja is the baker's wife. And this show is one of the great, amazing masterworks of recent music theater history. And it's always a treat to be able to encounter it in person. Neil, can you say a word about, although you're not the music director, something about the musical complexity of this score and the challenge that confronts Jeremy Mossman, I think he's your music director,
yes,
and the cast to contend with this score?
Yeah, it is always challenging to grapple with Sondheim. He does, there's something different that he does in Into the Woods where there are some themes that repeat and recur that are very catchy, almost as if nodding to Disney without descending to Disney, if that makes sense, right? That that we hear these familiar themes that recur that are very catchy, and you don't always get catchy. You did with a lot of early Sondheim, actually, but with this musical, we get those, and they're deceptive because they seem to an audience to be, the music seems to be simple. You can leave whistling it or humming it, but when you start layering these things together, because Sondheim, I think he is a brilliant composer. I think he is an even better lyricist. Mm. And when, and of course, the fact that he writes his own lyrics to go with his music, the marriage between them, the phrasing is full of surprises because he's thinking of lyric simultaneously with thinking of the musical phrase, and sometimes it is the lyric that shapes the phrase, not I have a melody and I need to find the right word for it, or I don't. Mm. Sometimes it's inverted, and it leads us to actually the sense of repetition is almost makes it harder, because often you'll have a similar phrase, I'm sure Cassidy can speak to this, where you know those small differences in tempos and rhythms and in the lyric make it actually harder to learn, where it feels repetitive. It truly isn't.
Does Professor Sharnick know what he's talking about there?
Definitely, yes. there are definitely I think a lot of Stephen Sondheim's brilliance is in those little tiny details. Mm. And it's definitely been a challenge to do that justice, to really make sure that we're nailing all of those little tiny differences, because there's so much significance in each of those moments, and so much significance in when the melody is slightly different, or when now we're bringing back the same motif but in a different way, and now it has a different purpose. So that's been really challenging, but also really exciting, because it informs the character a lot as well. You learn almost as much from the songs, if not more, about each character through music rather than through the scenes between characters.
Sure. And I think he does such a great job of really being specific to characters.
Yeah.
I mean, that you would never take this song from Little Red Riding Hood and hand it over to the baker's wife. Speaking of Little Red Riding Hood, let's listen to one of the first things, if not the first thing she sings. It's not the first thing, but relatively early on, this is one of the moments we really get to know Little Red Riding Hood and her inquisitive mind. So this is just a little bit of the song, I Know Things Now.
Mother said straight ahead, not to delay or be misled. I should have heeded her advice, but he seemed so nice. And he showed me things, many beautiful things that I hadn't thought to explore. They were off my path, so I never had dared. I had been so careful, I never had cared. And he made me feel excited, well, excited and scared. When he said, come in, with that sickening grin, how could I know what was in store? Once his teeth were bare, though I really got scared, well, excited and scared, but he drew me close and he swallowed me down, down a dark, slimy path where lie secrets that I never want to know. And when everything familiar seemed to disappear forever, at the end of the path was Granny once again, so we wait in the dark until someone sets us free, and we're brought into the light, and we're back at the start. And I know things now, many valuable things that I hadn't known before. Do not put your faith in a cape and a hood. They will not protect you the way that they should. And take extra care with strangers. Even flowers have their dangers. And the scary is exciting. Nice is different than good. Now I know, don't be scared. Granny is right, just be prepared. Isn't it nice to know a lot? And a little bit not.
That is one brilliant song and one of many brilliant songs in this show.
Yeah, and it's one that highlights one of the themes. It is a show that is about everything. but to identify and isolate some themes, that idea of innocence as naivety and knowledge as innocence lost, and the balance that one needs to find there, right? The joy and terror of growing up and of encountering a bigger, more dangerous world. We want our children to grow up, and a lot of it's the perspective of parents and children, right? And we want or should want our children to grow up, and yet to send them into the world, to see them no longer be children, and to know what that means, that they're not children anymore, and that innocence is lost, is terrifying, and it's sad, and
inescapable.
And absolutely inescapable. The only alternative is even more horrible, right? You want your child to grow up. So, but what we see in this play, and by choosing all these fairy tales, we see different parents' responses to that. We, of course, have the witch who locks Rapunzel in the tower, right, to keep her perfect little, pure, pristine, immaculate, untouched by the sun, flower in a tower, as she says. She refuses to let Rapunzel grow up. And of course, this is a destructive choice, ultimately. This isn't what's supposed to happen. But then Red, who is allowed to go off into the woods and have adventures, gets eaten by a wolf. So there's danger in smothering and overprotecting the child. There is danger in letting them go.
Mm-hmm. We should hear at this point just a little bit of the song that is sung by the mother of Rapunzel, "Stay With Me," in which she is, in the gentlest of terms, expressing that fervent wish for Rapunzel to stay with her forever.
What did I clearly say? Children must listen.
No, no, please.
What were you not to do? Children must see and learn.
No.
Why could you not obey? Children should listen. What have I been to you? What would you have me be? Handsome like a prince. Ah, but I am old, I am ugly, I embarrass you.
No.
Yes, you are ashamed of me.
No.
You are ashamed. You don't understand.
It was lonely atop that tower.
And I was not company enough.
I am no longer a child. I wish to see the world.
Don't you know what's out there in the world? Someone has to shield you from the world. Stay with me. Princes wait there in the world, it's true. Princes, yes, but wolves and humans too. Stay at home. I am home.
A little bit of Stay With Me, the song sung by the mother of Rapunzel. We're sampling Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods in anticipation of the opening of Carthage's production this weekend. Cassidy Scorger, you are the baker's wife, and of course her role in this show touches very much on the themes that Neil Sharnick was talking about in terms of parenthood, motherhood, longing to have a child, and doing just about anything to make that possible. Tell us a little bit more about how you have tried to relate to this character and her really poignant story, her story and the baker, of course, who are very much in this together.
Sure, yeah. So I think what's really special about The Baker's Wife is that she is just so direct and so grounded, and she's so decisive throughout most of the play. She always knows exactly what the next step is. She's so smart, and she's so singularly focused on getting what she wants. And I think that that has been kind of a good place for me to kind of try to relate to what it feels like to just be like, I need to do this, and this is what I'm doing, and trying to really live in that kind of grounded place has been really helpful in trying to portray her honestly, and despite having not really had the experience yet of wanting to, you know, start a family and having that kind of, you know, thing going for me. Mm-hmm. This kind of idea of doing whatever it takes to get where you want to be. And I think what's really interesting about that idea is that we get to see how that affects her a lot, too. Because like Jack, like, her actions have consequences. Their actions have consequences. And it's also been really wonderful to work with Austin Nelson, who's playing the baker. I feel like we've been working really, really well together. We have a really good like connection. So being able to work from each other, a lot of my scenes are with him. So it's been really great to be able to use one another, like use each other's energy and our, I guess, drive to do this well. That's been really helpful in. We build each other up to help. We both want the baker and the baker's wife. We both want more than anything, you know, as we say in the show, to have this child, to start this life, and to find this new adventure. So, kind of really living in that place of decisive action has been really, really helpful in doing justice to the part.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's funny because. We're offered Cinderella as a counterpoint, whose indecision really defines her in this show, you know, who finally makes a decision about what to do with this prince, and all in her decision is not to decide. I'll just leave a shoe here and let's see what happens, right? That she doesn't know what she wants, and gets that she doesn't know who she is if she doesn't know what she wants, right? That there's something deeply lacking in this inability to decide, that the baker's wife acts as an absolute foil to. She knows what she wants, and she is willing to justify just about any action. That really is a defining factor of her. She's a pretty amoral character in some ways, that she is going to do whatever it takes. If that means stealing from a little girl, if that means yanking the hair off a maiden in a tower, like, whatever it is, if she has to tell lies, she is going to do it. And yet she is such an extraordinarily likable character. You understand her and her drive, and you know it all comes from the place of desperately wanting to lift this curse and have a child and start a family. So we're rooting for her, sometimes in spite of her.
Right, exactly. And, of course, it's also really interesting to think in this world of fairy tales, to think about a female character with this level of agency.
Yeah.
Because we don't always think of fairy tale female characters in that way so often, or at least at a glance, it seems like things happen to them, and then fortunately a prince comes along and rescues them or whatever. And probably the closer we look at fairy tales, they're not always that way, but it seems like Sondheim has gone out of his way to lift up, especially in The Baker's Wife, a really strong female character.
Yeah, and of course she runs into obstacles for that reason. She is sent home by her husband a lot. No, I'll take care of this. I'll do this. But she doesn't go home. She pursues him out in the woods, and it's a good thing she does, because we find that she's the much more capable in a lot of ways.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And they didn't stand a chance if she didn't disobey her husband and go out and seek these items that they need.
Absolutely. Let's experience for just a moment the indecisiveness of the character of Cinderella as she sort of tries to sort out her feelings about this handsome prince that she has just encountered.
He's a very nice prince. And it's a very nice ball.
And
when I entered, they trumpeted.
And the prince.
Oh, the prince.
Yes, the prince.
Well, he's tall.
Is that all?
Did you dance? Is he charming?
They say that he's charming.
We did nothing but dance.
Yes.
And it made a nice change.
Oh, the prince.
Oh, the prince.
Yes, the prince.
He has charm for a prince, I guess. guess. I don't meet a wide range, and it's all very strange. What I wouldn't give to be in your shoes. Will you look over there? An enormous vine growing next to that little cottage. I mean slipper.
It looks like a giant beanstalk rising into the sky.
It's pure as gold.
I must get home.
Wait, I need your shoes.
That's Cassidy Scourge's character, who's desperate for one of those shoes because that's part of the whole plan to try to lift the curse that she and her husband have been placed under. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim with Neil Sharnick, the stage director, and Cassidy Scorgio, who is part of the cast as the Baker's Wife. The production opens this weekend. Can you say a word, Neil, about visually what people will see and the kind of technical challenges that this show poses?
Sure. It's full of them, but it's full of the kind I love. There's magic, of course. We have a witch. There must be. And to make that happen, and it's fairy tales. So we have transformations, Cinderella, you know, getting her wish and her ball gown and all of that. And the witch being transformed at a point. There's a lot theatrically to enjoy. You know, it's visually rich. One thing that from fairly early on I wanted to address that has always bothered me a little bit about this show is an inconsistency, particularly dealing with the animals in the show, which is a little strange to point out. But typically, the wolf is played by a costumed actor. You have a cow, Milky White, who's usually a prop. So occasionally, it's done different ways. But originally, that was it was later done by a costumed actor in the revival. And you have birds that are often a scenic element lowered from the skies above. You have a hen that's sometimes a puppet, sometimes just a prop as well. And I wanted a uniformity here, and I thought that puppetry was the most interesting and engaging way to handle that. So we reached out to Brandon Kirkham, who's a production manager up at First Stage Children's Theater, and is a trained and enthusiastic puppeteer, and invited him down to help us do a little puppetry workshop. He also helped us reach out to a woman, Aretta Baumgartner, from the Center for Puppet Arts in Atlanta, Georgia, and we brought her in as well, who also led a workshop. And then the trick has been creating puppets to realize a lot of these characters that and to come up with some sort of uniform vision for the animal world. That has then further informed what we're doing, so that the narrator is also telling the story, and in the narrator's space, there's a puppet theater, so we get the sense that she's sort of acting out this little puppet play, while then what we see happening on stage is sort of the realization of that, where in order to sort of tie those together, the animal characters are performed as puppets. This further informed, it's amazing, you know, how one idea sort of snowballs into others. The question then became, well, who puppets these puppets, right? Typically, the wolf is played by one of the actors playing one of the princes, typically Rapunzel's prince. So we've actually created a wolf that is played by both princes, are serving as our wolf, are puppeting the wolf. The hen is being puppeted by Jack's mom, who it occurred to us is a bit of a mother hen herself. And then we have a moment with Three Little Pigs, as was added to the Broadway revival, and I thought it would be fun to have the stepsisters and stepmother be our pigs. Mm. And then that is it for our costumer. All these choices have further informed the choices that she makes, trying to create and build up those associations. So I think it's created a really unified production, design-wise, creatively, artistically. All those elements have been brought together in a way that's exciting and I haven't seen before. So,
well,
we're pleased.
A lot to look forward to. I know we don't want to spend too much time with this, but I think it's worth mentioning that in the course of the rehearsal process, a member of the cast needed to leave school. Mm-hmm. And so you were confronted with suddenly the challenge of finding someone else to step into a fairly significant role. Can you just say in general what it feels like when you as director are confronted with that kind of a situation and challenge?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm a professor of these students who has come to understand that my class or my production is not the only thing happening in their lives. That's been a hard lesson to learn, but I know that that's true. And of course, students need to take care of themselves and their health. And there are times for personal and family crises to get in the way. And it's totally understandable. I've had some experience. The first musical I directed, Thoroughly Modern Millie, my Millie had a family crisis late in the road. And actually, Millie was recast, or the understudy stepped in and took over the role for the performances. So that was a bit of a trial by fire.
You've been down this road.
Yeah. So I knew we'd be fine. I also knew the capacities of our students at Carthage. It's just a really strong program with some extraordinarily talented students. I knew right away that I wanted to promote from within, that it was going to be someone already in the cast who was going to move into the... So Austin Winter, who had been cast as the steward, became Rapunzel's prince. Will Berglund, who was Cinderella's father, moved into the role of the steward. So we were able to sort of shuffle the deck and make everything work fine. And I think we've moved forward without a hitch. You know, we have actors very capable and eager to step in and take on larger challenges.
Very good. And while we're talking about princes, let's just hear a little bit about the big song that is sung by the two princes, Agony.
Did I abuse her or show her disdain? Why does she run from me? If I should lose her, how shall I regain the heart she has won from me? Agony beyond power of speech, when the one thing you want is the only thing out of your reach.
High in her tower, she sits by the hour, maintaining her hair, blithe and becoming, and frequently humming a light-hearted air. Agony, far more painful than yours, when you know she would go with you if there only were doors. Agony, oh, the torture they teach. What's as intriguing or half so fatiguing as what's out of reach? Am I not sensitive, clever, well-mannered, considerate, passionate, charming, as kind as I'm handsome, and heir to a throne?
You are everything maidens could wish for.
Then why no?
Do why no?
The girl must be mad.
You know nothing of madness till you're climbing her hair, and you see her up there as you're nearing her, all the while hearing her
agony, misery,
although it's different for each.
Always 10 steps behind,
always 10 feet below,
and she's just out of reach.
Agony that can cut like a knife.
I must have her to woe.
Agony from Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. Neil, I wanted to be sure to ask you about one of the most powerful songs that is part of this show. Maybe of anything in the show, it's perhaps what is excerpted the most often, and is the song No One Is Alone. And I remember first hearing this before I had seen the whole show, just hearing an instrumental rendition of it on a CD we had purchased here at the station. And I just fell in love with it musically without even having heard a word of the lyrics or knowing anything about where it was in the show. And it's one of the songs that most intrigues me, I think, of any of the songs in the show. Explain to our listeners who sings this and why you think they sing this, or what is the most important thing being said in this song.
Yeah, dramatically, it's I think it's pulling us out of the darkest moment in the musical. We still have not dramatically achieved the climax, had the final confrontation, but we've reached a point of despair for some of our characters. I was actually just discussing with Cassidy that this musical, this lighthearted fairy tale musical, has more deaths than Hamlet in it. That things go very wrong in Act Two for a lot of our characters, and Cinderella is talking to Red, who has lost her family, and the baker is talking to Jack, who has lost his family, and they are at sort of a decisive moment where all could be lost. The kingdom could be lost. And despite having received their own wounds and blows recently, Cinderella and the baker, with the responsibility to care for these children, these young people just sort of thrust upon them, they find that they need to rise up and say something uplifting to help these children, and the song "No One Is Alone" is where they do that.
Mother cannot guide you. Now you're on your own. Only me beside you. Still you're not alone. No one is alone. Truly, no one is alone. Sometimes people leave you halfway through the war. Others may deceive you. You decide what's good. You decide alone. But no one is alone. I wish.
An extraordinarily beautiful song.
It really is.
Just incredible. Just incredible. Before we are out of time, I want to be sure to give you a chance to briefly talk about something kind of extraordinary that occurred at Carthage Saturday afternoon, which involved most, if not all, of the cast of Into the Woods.
The inauguration was held for Carthage's new president, John Swallow, and he really wanted the event, I think it's remarkable, he wanted the event to be a celebration of the great work happening at Carthage and of as many departments as possible, particularly across the performing arts. And he and his wife, Cameron, I know, have a special fondness for, a love for this show, Into the Woods, and they asked that the cast of Into the Woods perform at the inauguration. So we, beginning with part of the finale, Children Will Listen, we had the opportunity to get the whole cast costumed and choreographed. We were incorporated into the inauguration ceremony, and I think brought a little spark in the midst of these academic ceremonies have a lot of pomp and
protocol,
yeah. Absolutely, and for a moment to break that down, bring in a bunch of fairy tale characters, and sing and dance a pretty upbeat number, the finale, the recurring Into the Woods theme is introduced there, and I think what this song says about the need to mindfully care for and teach children, I think was. Though the experience of it felt almost felt a little out of place in such an academic setting, the song and the lyrics, and what this play says about our responsibility to the next generation was wholly appropriate for a presidential inauguration at a college.
What did it feel like, Cassidy, as one of the cast members, to be part of that moment?
It was such an honor to be able to be a part of such a historic moment for Carthage. And so humbling to know that we have the support of our president and to have the support of the college so wholly. And so it was so exciting to be able to share what we've been working on. You know, we're all really, really proud of what we've been doing. And the finale is just so beautifully crafted. So it was so exciting to have the support of our administration and the college as a whole. And I'm really glad I got to experience that and to be there for something that, you know, people will talk about in our college's history for the rest of the time we're around. You
absolutely.
Know? It was amazing.
Right.
It was an incredible
and
thing.
So for Carthage Choir to be there on sort of one end of it and then into the woods fully costumed in the other. Fantastic. We'll finish by hearing some of that. But, Neil, remind our listeners, anyone who wants to experience Into the Woods, what they need to do.
Sure. The best thing to do is to go online to carthage.edu/tickets and reserve your tickets right away online. We have performances this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and then Sunday at 3 o'clock. The following weekend, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we have performances all at 7:30. For this first weekend, tickets, we're very excited. Tickets are going quite fast. So book them now if you'd like to come.
Very good. Into the Woods at Carthage opening this weekend. And Neil Charnick, the stage director, Cassidy Scorija playing the very important role of the Baker's Wife. Great to have both of you here to talk about this magnificent show, and best wishes to you and everybody part of Into the Woods.
Thank you, Greg.
The childless baker with his wife.
Careful the things you say, children will listen. Careful the things you do, children will see and learn.
Into the Woods opening Friday night at Carthage College. And again, more information is available at carthage.edu/tickets. Tomorrow, Dr. Art Sear from Carthage for his monthly visit to the program. Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back, jackandrea.com. Support also comes from Carthage College, the Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu.